8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Hello, everybody. We are here the final night of our cruise on the Brilliance of the Seas.
Hey, do you think we got any smarter being on the ship? It is called the Brilliance.
Hey, you did a joke!
So I receive brilliance right now.
You've never told a joke before, and that was actually kind of funny. Anyway, so we have special guests with us today. We are so excited. We have our Aussie friends,
woo-hoo. Yay!
Marilyn and Carolyn.
Yay!
Sorry.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm just going to turn it over to you guys. If I have any questions, I'll pipe them in. And so, Kat, you can start, or you guys can start.
So, how did you find out about the Revelations? That's a good way to start.
Oh, yeah. When was the first time you guys even heard, Kat?
You need to start that one.
Probably about 4 years ago, somebody told me, have I heard of Kat Kerr? And I said, no, I've never heard of Kat Kerr. And they said, you've got to hear her. So I Googled it and listened to your messages and then ordered your books on Revealing Heaven, book one and two. And it was like, you know, it was like something that I had been, I suppose, longing to hear. And I was so interested in hearing about heaven and then it was the teachings then that you were bringing, that really talking about your authority.
And yes.
The authority that we have in him. And
Even before I was taken to heaven or given that commission, if I talked about anything, not that I never had a platform to speak from. Mm. I was always the person in the background. But I would speak to different leaders and stuff like that, privately or something like that. It was always about authority. It was always about dominion. Mm. So that started a long time ago. And God's just taking advantage of that by sharing in the spirit realm how we rule and how you take authority and dominion. Mm. None of it's difficult. Of course, you just have to do it, right?
Yeah.
So you found out from your mom.
Yeah, I think it was probably the books that I definitely started reading. And it was funny because Mum often would talk about seeing faces in the clouds.
Oh, wow.
And so I would look. I remember at the time I would look at pictures and I was like, oh, I'm not sure. Like, I think I can see. I'm not sure. And I remember it was actually the first cruise that we came to with you. I remember being on the bus just... we were heading to the boat and I thought I'll take some photos of the clouds. And I remember that was the first time actually that I experienced, like I captured this really, really clear like profile image.
Well, awesome.
And yeah, and it was really interesting. So I was just like, for me, it was like a gradual of just finding out, I suppose, just starting to take in everything as I was reading about it and starting to like, I suppose, listening to your messages. But yeah, I loved, absolutely loved the books, just completely unlocked.
Yeah, I tell people they should start with the books if possible, because it's very basic stuff.
Yeah.
And you're not just thrown out there into the middle of everything, right?
Yeah.
And that was God's plan, too. That's why he hasn't released number three yet.
Yeah.
Mm. It's going to be so deep and so wild. He wants most people to have one and two first.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be something else.
Yeah, can't wait.
I am working on it, though.
Yeah.
I always start with the illustrations first, and I've got like 20.
Yeah.
For this third book, so it's going to take a bit when I'm working on movie scripts at the same time, and the movie scripts can't wait. You know, when you sign a contract, you have to get that, or you're holding up the whole thing. My time's really going to be probably divided up into probably three categories: the traveling and speaking, and then the movie script, and then finishing the book.
We ordered some of your CDs then from your website and started playing them then to people in the church and getting people together and listening to the messages. And it was like you could see them coming alive and really starting to realize that
that's what Revelation does.
We have authority.
Brings life.
Do they have questions? I'm always curious to ask when people get a group together and they start listening to them. A lot of people will have questions. just about what was spoken about. So I don't know, did you experience any of that? Was people...
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of discussion around it after the after we'd played the CDs, a lot of discussion around it later. And I think, you know, probably a lot of the time people were talking about the fact that they hadn't realised that they had that authority.
Yes.
But were asking God to do things rather and realising that they can command, you know, they can take authority over the enemy.
Yeah.
And definitely it started to bring a shift. I know for me personally, God has me on assignments often of producing different music or different things that we do, and there's been an awful lot of backlash over the years.
Yes.
Like a massive amount of backlash.
Oh yes, people don't understand. And, they just don't understand, or they don't think that that's really true what they're hearing, whether they disbelieve that someone has seen it, or they just disbelieve this could not possibly happen.
Yeah.
Or they think God is not like that. I get that a lot. I don't think God would do that. Yeah. I don't think he would say that. I mean, that's only because you don't know him.
Yeah.
And then the thing that really gets people going is when you mention a scripture that nobody understands.
Yeah.
And a lot of pastors or even any of the fivefold, they don't want to touch those scriptures because they don't really know what it means, like, know ye not that ye are gods.
Yeah.
That confounds a lot of them. Well, we couldn't possibly be gods because he's God.
Yeah.
But that's like a little God. That's a little G. That's not a big one. So he's he's not saying you're me.
No.
But he's saying you are like me.
Yeah.
And if we really are his sons and daughters, then we are like him.
Yeah.
Just like we're about like our own parents, right?
Yeah.
So know ye not that ye are gods is one. The other one is command ye me. That really gets them set off. Yeah. We're not going to tell God what to do. I said he wants you to say what is going to happen.
Yeah.
He's telling you to command. You know, you're not telling him what to do, obviously, but the way it's worded, I've learned sometimes people don't understand the wording of something or even what that wording means. But what he's really saying is you command and you say what is going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he doesn't have to do it all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stop,
he's trying
stop
to train
him.
Us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're trying to train us to be just like them because it says so in Genesis 1:26. Yeah. Let us make man in our image and after the way we operate, just like we operate is a likeness.
Yeah.
I found the backlash really reduced as I began to do that every morning, taking
the
power, overpower the enemy, commanding the host to go and pull down and destroy every plot or plan of the enemy.
I know. I love doing it. I never, ever, ever get tired of doing it.
Yeah.
Not ever.
Your favor with people and man and stuff, situations grows tremendously when you use those.
It does grow.
Because they get the enemy out of the way.
Yeah.
Yes, they do.
Yeah. You'd know if you would forget.
You know, yes, you would know.
You're like, oh, hang on.
That favor's not always there, is it?
Yeah, you're like, something's wrong.
Our traffic is horrible.
Oh, my gosh, what happened?
Yeah.
So can I say something from the British section of the room? Because I know that this is something that people may think. So you're not from America, are you?
Something giving it away is yes.
And the reason I'm just bringing it up is because we get people listening to this podcast, and some people find the ministry through it, so they're all new to these things. And I know that people think, well, you're American, you think differently, so you've got this kind of imagination which thinks God's working for you. But you're basically saying that you're in a completely different country, taking on board this idea of the host and what they do and send them places, and it works even there on the other side of the world.
We're actually close to the South Pole.
Well, there you go.
There's
nothing between Tasmania and the South Pole.
So just to break a whole thing here, they are from Australia, which does exist. The Flat Earth Society says it doesn't. So we're not talking to two actresses. They are from Australia.
They are from Australia.
An actual country, that actually exists.
It is a country. And we are from Tasmania, which also exists. The state of Tasmania, which is part of Australia.
There you go, Mythbusters again.
Yeah.
Tassies.
Busting the flat earth.
Tassies.
theory that's not a reality.
Have you guys heard that?
We have, yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
I'm just
it doesn't make sense.
When I read that whole article about them saying Australia doesn't really exist and it's just you haven't heard
that.
Heard that.
No, we haven't heard that one.
Oh, that whole article.
They've added that to their laws of.
That's funny.
They say it's Hollywood.
Relativity to the flat Earth theory.
Actors and actresses, and the animals are mechanical.
Oh my goodness. If that was the case, we'd be doing a whole lot better.
I know.
You wonder where they get this, because I think it actually takes greater faith to believe that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
That there's no way that's possible.
That's so funny.
And they have also said that NASA has made up the whole thing about the Earth being round.
Yeah. Wow.
So they spent billions of dollars since the 60s.
Yes.
And, you know, NASA, they're saying NASA spent all this money and faked all of this stuff, like the walking on the moon, everything, just to support their theory that the Earth is flat.
Uh-huh.
And there's no way it can be flat. The whole tidal thing wouldn't work, okay? The tides, because of the rotation of the Earth and the position of the Earth and everything, those tides have to move in and out at regular times and stages, and the Earth would have to be round in order for that to happen. So they're saying that even the ocean is being faked, I guess. everything's fake to them except the flat Earth.
It's crazy.
So we haven't told people on the podcast where we actually are, have we? We didn't mention... Oh, we know. We are on the Brilliance of the Seas.
Yes, we're out on the ocean right now.
On the ocean.
Sailing the ocean, yeah.
Sailing the ocean blue.
We just left Dover, England.
At midnight.
Yeah. Woo-hoo! And we're heading to Amsterdam.
Amsterdam.
Going to Amsterdam. Or Holland, whichever one you like better.
Which I didn't realize they were both.
Yes. Did you wonder where Holland went?
I know.
Because even we kind of went,
what do they do in Holland?
What do they do in Holland? See, the man of mind is definitely a big puzzle. Except the Flat Earth people, they lost a few pieces.
Oh my goodness.
You'd be surprised how many highly intelligent people belong to them.
Yeah.
And those who join, they demand money from them to help advertise the fact that the Earth is flat.
Wow.
So I don't know how intelligent, they're supposed to be intelligent, but how intelligent are you if you can be talked into giving so much money to a theory that there's no way they can actually prove it. So that can't be very smart, right?
No.
I've had a 12th grade education. I'm smarter than them. I happen to tell people, I've already been above the Earth. It's too late to tell me it's not round.
Yeah.
I've been out in space. It's round. You know, like a planet.
Yeah.
God didn't make the planets flat. There are no flat planets out there. So I don't know where this Earth got that image from, because I've also been to heaven, and Earth is a shadow of it, and heaven's not flat.
Yeah.
So they're wrong.
They're wrong.
Yeah. Well, and we've also lived in Australia, and we are not actresses. That debunks that one. So
yes, my favorite thing to do right now is to debunk the flat Earth.
Yes, and we will make sure when she goes to Australia, which we are hoping is soon.
Yeah,
we will do a Facebook Live. Look
here.
Yeah,
you're here.
We're
it's here. Real. We're here. You see, look at us.
Yeah,
we haven't fallen off the edge yet.
No,
not even in the sky.
And I know Australia will love to have you come.
Yes.
Oh, I want to come.
Yeah. You want to share?
I really think it's going to be 2020. 2020 is a very key year for a lot of things.
Yeah.
And I'm really certain that we're going to be going to Australia.
Australia, New Zealand.
And New Zealand.
Yeah.
Do you want to share anything with them about what God's saying about Australia and New Zealand?
I know it's a target zone for him, which is a good thing. When he showed me, people have different ideas of what the word term mapping means. But God also does his own mapping. He maps certain areas of the earth. And he has a big grid, a grid around it. And he took me up into the heavens so I could see the earth with this grid. And different areas would light up, like really brilliantly. He said, these are the areas I'm going to do things with over the next 10 years.
Wow.
One of them was Australia.
Yeah.
It was all lit up. It was huge.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I will say, personally, the first time I thought about Australia was when I was about 12. And I read in the Reader's Digest an article on Alice Springs.
Mm. Wow.
And I thought, that's got to be the most fascinating place on the earth.
Yeah.
So far away from where I'm at, I've got to go to Australia.
Yeah.
So that was a long time ago in Earth years. And But I think that that's going to happen this next year. Yeah. But God definitely wants a people who are strong,
yeah,
who are bold. You got to be bold. You got to be strong to live out there, right?
Yeah.
It's not the easiest place in the world to be. Mm. And yet, and so much land that has not even been used.
Yeah.
And God is looking for areas that have a lot of land
because
of all the building he intends to do in these areas.
Yeah.
So that would qualify Australia just for that.
Yeah.
All of the unused land.
Yeah. See, Australia's the same size of America, minus Alaska.
Yes.
So, and yet our population is so much less than
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So it's got room for a lot of things to happen,
it
right?
It has. It's very, it does. Suppose, young as a nation.
Yes.
So,
yeah.
A very strategic thing.
Got a lot of history. Yeah.
Yeah. God's going to use it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's time. It's definitely
also
time.
Its location. Also, that it's not necessarily like what is the closest. I know New Zealand is close by, but what else is close by? Australia.
New Guinea would be.
New Guinea.
Yeah.
It's also an out there place.
Malaysia, yeah. Singapore.
Yeah. Asia. Some Asian countries.
Yeah. The Asian countries.
Yeah.
That eat fish.
Yes. Do y'all eat a lot of fish there?
By the way, Tasmania is really good for fly fishing. It's one of the best places in the world.
Oh, you're giving a plug for my husband.
Yeah.
He does do fly fishing.
Does he?
Does.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's really good.
We've got
the
great salmon as well.
Oh, he loves.
He loves salmon. We send our salmon around the world. Yeah. That's probably not. We needed being here to.
We'd have to do this thing about 5 hours earlier. But he probably is dreaming of it right now.
Yeah.
Okay, I just wanted to ask a question of you, Kat. Since learning to take power of the power of the enemy and commanding the host, a lot of the attack, the backlash, had been reduced, but just a few weeks ago I went away and to work on a new CD, but I'm also working on a song of the unborn. And that day I went away, I got up early and I didn't take authority or power over the power of the enemy.
Okay.
And that night, that evening, I was away from my own home. A group of people broke into my home. And apparently they were armed. They absolutely ransacked my house. They stole a lot of stuff. They left a card, a calling card. They stole my car. And I wondered if, you know, was I susceptible? If because I didn't take power over the power of the enemy that day, was that...
The thing about ruling is, let's just say, as a king in a kingdom, a king can't step off his throne and not do anything in a day. It would cause so much havoc. It's the same thing. When you start ruling, and the Bible says when you're going forward, it's sort of in the word, when you're going forward and you're plowing through, it says don't step back or you won't be fit for the kingdom. What that means is you will not have operated in the power and authority you needed to prevent something, or to keep going forward without any interference.
Yeah.
It definitely makes a difference, even for myself. Mm-hmm. Even for me. Once you start doing that, it's so important for it to become a lifestyle.
Yeah.
Even if you have to leave something up to remind you. But even Jen and I have found that. The only time I've been in any kind of an accident, twice in the last 2 years, it was minor, but I had not sent the hose.
Yeah.
I just got in a hurry, left, and started on the parking lot. I got to where the grocery store was, and my hair salon was there. And the Holy Spirit said to me, "You didn't send the host." And I said, "I will in a minute after I park." Mm-hmm. It was as I was parking, I was rear-ended. I even made an excuse, see? Mm-hmm. So I should not have done that. I should have instantly. Just done it. It doesn't matter where you are. If you remember, make sure you say it.
You do it. Yeah.
And my husband, the same thing. When he was just learning, I apply everything the minute I hear, and I share it. Not everybody applies it at the same time. So he was still learning to do this. I even reminded him, but he got in the car and left. And we actually did have an accident, like within minutes.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't have to say anything to him. We weren't hurt in any way. But he knew that it was because he had not sent the host. Yeah. Even though I had said, don't forget to send them, I want him to learn. Mm. I didn't want to have to do it myself.
Yeah.
Wow.
He still does it all the time until recently he and my brother were out somewhere. And my brother knows to do it, but RJ's a tough-headed guy. And he thinks it's kind of weak sometimes when you're not tough in the natural. Mm. But God makes it real simple for us to be strong and safe mm. in the supernatural. They had not a good accident. He was pulling his prized motorcycle behind him in the specially made trailer he had designed, my brother had, and they were hit. The motorcycle and the thing was hit. The whole trailer was hit. They were not injured. I didn't have to ask my husband, even though Margaret and I were traveling, and we both sent them. It's not the same.
Mm. No.
It's not the same because they're yours.
Yeah.
We can't send your host, and God made that very specific.
Mm.
I can't send Jen's, and she can't send mine.
Mm.
Now, we can speak over our other family that knows nothing about it, and they can do something. Yeah. But once you've learned to do this, you're responsible.
Yeah.
You yourself are responsible. So it does almost leave you as an open target.
Yeah.
So you're saying we each have our own host.
Yes.
That's right.
Yeah. Mm.
Yes, because you personally have to invite them yourself.
Yeah.
You can't invite the army for your whole family.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, as the head of your family, or even if only one of them know, you can command the host to protect all of you. But once you have invited them to be your own weapon, you're responsible for sending that army.
Yeah.
God did it in that way because you could have, like, if you have four people in your family, you have four armies. If you all live together, four armies that are over you, but everybody sends their own on their own assignments to do. If you do it corporately, like I know a place I go to quite often, they have a whole night in the week where they all come together and send their army corporately.
Wow.
It's very dangerous against the enemy.
Yeah.
Just a change that I noticed where our church is in Tasmania, it's in a suburb where there's been a lot of violence, a lot of, and we've had so much vandalism, nearly $200,000 worth of broken windows in the years that we've been there.
Wow.
But after I heard your teaching, I started commanding the host to go and pull down and destroy every plan that was coming in. And
yes.
Against, and within a short time, all the vandalism has ceased.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. So we had years and years of it, and now.
And that was the one thing that had changed.
Yeah.
So you know that is what absolutely would make a difference.
It's totally different. Mm.
The enemy would target anyone that he knows is dangerous against him.
Yeah.
But it's hopeless for him once they get that army. It's hopeless because he doesn't have the power to override the authority we give the host of heaven.
Yeah, yeah.
Satan can do nothing against that army because we have power over all the power of the enemy. Christ said that. No matter what they're doing against us or where it is against us especially, they're sitting ducks.
Yeah.
Talk about a target.
Yeah.
They are the sitting target.
Yeah.
And there's not anything one single demon or all of them together or even Satan himself cannot stop that from happening, that attack from happening.
Yeah.
And eventually, we'll run them out of that area.
Yeah.
Because they know every single time they stick up their head or try to do something, they're going to be bashed.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah.
That's how we create regions of light.
And that's how we see our city is going to be.
Yes.
I really believe that. I've heard you share that, and I keep seeing
absolutely
our city is going to be like.
Because the more
regions.
You send them, the more you get. So if you're sending 10,000 or 100,000, that enemy that's been assigned there is going to be overrun and beaten down.
Yeah.
There's not enough of them to even try to defend what they already have.
Yeah.
So they'll be run off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because your army will keep growing.
Yeah.
And they will be less and less and less.
Yeah.
And a point comes when Satan will say, I'm just removing them. Because all I've got is battered.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All I have is battered troops.
Awesome.
So you can see how that would how that literally that would work.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I know something that she taught us one time is that you could post a host. And I was like, what do you mean post a host? And she says, like, if you go park
like
your car
a sentry.
Somewhere. Yeah, a sentry. Oh. And you can post a host to protect your car. So you can post a host outside of your church.
Yes.
And he'll be like a sentry that just stays there and guards it.
Yeah.
Host a host at your house. Mm. You know?
Yeah.
And that's a good thing to remember, too.
Yeah, it seems to me like it almost seems too simple, doesn't it?
But
to
God is simple.
No, I know, but that's what I'm saying.
Yes.
It's like, because if you talk to most Christians, you kind of get this vibe from them that they want it to be harder. It's almost like you're trying to do works. That's the feeling I get from people, is because they will hear a little bit about this host thing and they'll be like, well, you know, I want to be the one that's struggling and overcoming. They don't quite see it, the fact that, you know, Jesus had this army at his disposal, but he chose to do what he does and how he does it. It wasn't because of any sort of weakness on his part. He wasn't striving, was he? He was making a choice to do what he did, but he had the entire universe, but the power of the very thing that made the universe, the tick. But he just didn't decide, he didn't want to use that in certain situations, right? But
well, he really couldn't. He would have defeated his whole purpose for being on the earth if he handled everything all the time himself. There would be no way to even train people to do anything and then see the difference. But his whole point of coming was to train those disciples. He was trying to train them all the time, like to stop the weather and all, you know, accelerating time and all that stuff. But as far as the army went, in that certain situation, he could not be rescued because he knew then he would not go to the cross.
Yeah.
The enemy probably wished he had been rescued.
Yeah. Mm.
Because had he known what was going to happen, he would have never pushed to get him crucified, which Satan did.
Yeah,
So but what he did do in that moment, because of his statement, we have every right to use that army. If I wanted to, I could call the army of heaven to come in, defend me, to rescue me.
Mm.
He was saying that for us.
Yeah.
It wasn't for him. Yeah. He was saying, walking as a righteous man, I have the right to call that army to come and fight on my behalf.
Mm.
So if anybody ever argues with him, you show them that scripture that says that.
Yeah.
There was no other reason for him to really say that.
Mm.
He knew he was going to the cross, but he said it so we would know.
Yeah.
We have that same right as a righteous person.
Yeah.
Mm. And you have to look at it, too, as it's teamwork.
We work together with them.
Because
it's
the host,
not them doing it by themselves.
The host can't do anything unless we give the orders.
Yes, that's right. We're the only ones who have
teamwork.
Authority.
Yeah.
I explain that to people all the time. They say, well, why did they go attack this and that and this and that? I went, they can't on their own just do that.
And you can't be lackadaisical about it either, because one day I got up and I got in the car and I said my usual that I do. You know, I take power and authority over all the power of the enemy operating any person, place, or thing where I'm going.
Mm.
Hosts go before me, beside me, above me, below me, behind me, and shred anything that gets in my path. And then I started to drive, and as plain as day, I hear, is that all? And I was like, I need to send you somewhere else, don't I? So I started sending them other places to do other things, because then they're like, really? You just want us to follow your car around?
They'll be
Come
bored.
On.
Yeah.
Give us something exciting to do, you know?
Oh, well,
so,
that's awesome.
Yeah. So interesting.
But it is exciting.
Yeah.
And it's very life-changing. It really is.
Yeah.
And I don't ever want to forget to send them. It's not.
Can you describe one of them again, Kat? Because I feel like it's been a while since. Like, because you hear about angels, you know, you're saying the hosts were some of the ones that turned up when the wise men turned up.
Yes.
So
it even says that in the Bible.
So the hosts are always the army of heaven.
Is there a few characters? Is there, like, there's different tribes? I heard you speak about that recently.
Mm-hmm.
Is there something that maybe people haven't thought about the way that those warring armies, because they're built for war? The thing which I say to people sometimes, which to get people out of the box, is you think of Transformers, The way that they sort of change and they're kind of made for certain things, but they can be covert. Mm-hmm. Is there anything which obviously doesn't come into our natural mind, like about some of
the army was definitely made different. Those who operate under Michael, God lays it out very clearly. 1/3 of the angels were under Michael, that's the army. Mm-hmm. 1/3 were under Lucifer, those were all the worship angels. And 1/3 was under Gabriel, and that was all the rest of them. Now, Gabriel's group look more like humans. Mm-hmm. Most of the ones who are under Gabriel do not look bizarre. They do not look fierce. Mm-hmm. They aren't strange. They're not weapons. They sometimes carry a sword when they go on missions, but almost always some of the hosts go with them now. Mm-hmm. The Bible talked about a time when that prayer went forth and Gabriel was delayed bringing the answer. And then they had to send for Michael. He sent for Michael. Okay, so Gabriel is a messenger angel. He's head of all the messengers, the scribes, the couriers, the worker angels. They bring the body parts. Well, the seraphim don't have anybody over there.
Yeah, that's right. They're in the throne room. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
the seraphim, who are a form of worship angel, but they're also can be fierce. They live over the throne in the glory cloud. And that's about the only place I've seen them. I've only seen one appear one other place. But normally they live there because they're the ones who really glorify God since Lucifer was thrown out.
Wow.
Lucifer's number one job was to worship God himself and then lead the worship angels in worshiping. Well, he's gone. All of that 1/3 of the angels are gone. God didn't make more. We take their place.
Yeah.
That's why it's so important for us to worship God.
And that's why the enemy doesn't like us so much, because we replaced him.
Yeah, we took his place.
He doesn't like worship.
So his whole plan failed miserably. Mm. So when God made Gabriel's group, he made them to be able to appear, talk, and communicate with man. Mm. And people wouldn't run and hide and crawl under something. But Michael's group was made to be fierce, that the very demonic would be terrified of them just because of their appearance. Mm-hmm. They're much bigger, they're much more fierce. They have weapons coming out of their own being, the way God created them. They are a weapon. Some don't have to carry weapons, like Shredder.
I was going to say, you should tell him about Shredder.
Where he's like a big puzzle. His whole body can be put together into pieces of this very brilliant, like gems are all over these not so little pieces. I'd say maybe like a 3-foot by 3-foot piece, like in an octagon shape. That's one piece of him. And God sends him into the enemy's camp, and so it just floats into the enemy's camp. Here's this brilliant, beautiful thing. And they don't have a very good memory, the demonic army. I think they lost part of their memory when they were hit with the lightning bolt, because they really don't remember from time to time when they war. So this beautiful piece goes into the enemy's camp, and they all lay their weapons down. They go to see, what is this beautiful thing? Then all of a sudden, outside the camp, all the rest of this being comes together. All these pieces go, all of them, like all these different pieces come together. Then here's this 50 to 60 foot being that's huge. And then finally that last piece comes to him. They see that the spears come out of every pore of this being's body, and they begin to spin and shred the enemy. It's too late. Mm-hmm. So that's how just one of those are made. Wow. But they're designed and made by God to destroy the plans of the enemy, to crush the plans of the enemy. And so that would be one under Michael. So Michael was sent. Michael is one of the fiercest angels. Although he's extremely nice looking to look at, but his eyes are very fierce. And so, and therefore, that's just a good explanation of the host. And Gabriel's group, nice looking, like a natural human being, walking amongst you. Don't even know it says that we entertain angels unawares because they look like us.
Yeah, they look like humans.
Mm. They look like humans. So they're all made for their in tribes for their very defined purpose.
Yeah.
So your guardian angels, though, actually, as strange as it is, they come under Michael. They're not part of the army.
A lot of people don't get it in the Bible where it said the heavenly host appeared.
Yes.
And the shepherds were
sore afraid.
They were so afraid it hurt them.
Her very beings were hurt
because it wasn't the beautiful choir.
Yeah,
because they were all kicked out.
Yes,
wow.
It was the host with
a great host
appears
and began to worship the birth of Christ. It was the army. That was singing. Now they saw Gabriel. Gabriel made the announcement. Wow. And he was beautiful. But when the army showed up to sing, I'm not even sure how great they sounded. They had choir practice probably the day before.
Yeah, that's true.
But I'm going to paint that one day in a scene, a scenery that the people actually can see what it really looked like. We'll put it on a Christmas card.
Well, we're just about out of time, and then we're in a public place.
Yes,
and somebody else walked in.
And we have to let everybody get on with their business, right?
Yeah. So
I have to finish packing.
Yes, we do. So we will.
Thank you, guys.
Speak to you another time.
And we are definitely coming to.
And we look forward to coming to Australia.
We look forward to.
So we will say goodbye to our Aussies and to everyone else listening, and we'll be back soon.
Yep, back when we're in Florida.
And may the host
go with you.
Woohoo!